2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elijah replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Look," they said, "we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha replied, "do not send them." But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. So he said, "Send them." And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" The people of the city said to Elisha, "Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive." "Bring me a new bowl," he said, "and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, "This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive." And the water has remained pure to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some boys came out of the town and jeered at him. "Get out of here, Baldy," they said. "Get out of here, Baldy." He turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys. And he went on to Mount Carmel, and from there returned to Samaria. This is God's word. Let's pray. Oh, great God and Father in heaven, we give you praise. We give you worship today, for you are the God who governs all things according to your plan. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us listening hearts to hear what you would speak to us from your word, and that you would lead us and cast out from us all vice and filthiness, and build up in us that which is holy and pure, all virtue, all excellence that reflects the glory of God through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In In order to get by, we rely on a lot of familiar supports. People, places, buildings, rituals, and resources. This provides for us a sort of normalcy. It gives us a stability in our lives. But what happens when your support is lost or changes? The things you relied on before go away. Well, that's what this passage is about. I think it comes to clarity through one question that Elisha asks here. He says, "Where now is the God of Elijah?" And what this points us to is that supports come and go, but there is one that does not. And so that's what we want to consider. Where now is the God of Elijah? And the first way I want thing I want you to see here is looking back. We'll kind of the three ways of looking at this passage: looking back, saying goodbye, and then saying hello. So first, looking back. As you read this passage, you see that it almost looks like Elijah and Elisha are just wandering around aimlessly, going from one place to another. But that's not the case at all. In fact, they are moving very deliberately through very significant places. They are on their way to Gilgal. Gilgal was the first place that Israel came to when they crossed the Jordan River and came into the promised land proper. That's where the manna stopped. That's where they started living off the land. And that's where they stood in two groups and pronounced the blessings and the cursings of the covenant. It was a reminder of God's faithfulness and their commitment to the Lord. The first place on their way to Gilgal they stopped was at Bethel. Bethel means house of God. And this is where Jacob had seen the Lord in his famous ladder to heaven, where he saw the angels ascending and descending. And there the Lord had met with him and had promised him, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I am with you, watch over you wherever you go." And then Jacob committed himself to the Lord, worshiped him, and promised to give a tenth of all he received. So it was a place reminding them of God's faithfulness and our commitment to him. The next stop was Jericho. And everybody knows Jericho because Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. But he didn't do that much fitting. He instead walked around the city and saw the walls miraculously fall down and a Lord's great victory. And that going to Jericho reminded him that the God who was there in his day had been there long before, doing the same type of amazing things that he had done in he was now doing in the days of Elijah. And therefore, he would continue to do them long into the future. After Jericho, they came to Gilgal and then to the Jordan River. And of course, the Jordan River is an amazing symbol of transitions. "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand," we sing, recognizing we're looking forward to that transition from life into eternal glory. And there they remembered that God had miraculously parted the river so they could walk through on dry land into the promised land. And God reminded them of that by having Elijah do the same thing. He took his cloak, he hit the water, and the waters divided again, teaching them that the God of Elijah was there in the past, was here in the present, and would be there in the future. That's what remembering can do for us. That's why we remember at the Lord's Supper. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 77, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Psalm 77. The past helps us see that God has worked in the past. And so it reminds us that when supports are gone, God will be still working in the future. Now, we might forget, in light of those exciting places, those wonderful places that remind us of the glory of the Lord, how sad this occasion was. Elijah, the great support of Elijah, the great friend, the great companion, the mentor of Elijah, was going to depart that day. Elijah said to Elisha, "I'm going across the Jordan. You stay here." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not do so." Elisha was not about to leave his master at that point. Now, why did Elijah ask Elisha to leave? Maybe to give him a test? To see, test his love? Did Elijah want to be alone? Did he want to spare Elisha of grief? We don't really know. But Elisha went. And as they went, they encountered groups of the prophets, many others who looked to Elijah as a support and help. And when he met the prophets, they said, "Do you know that your master is going to go away today?" You ever had someone do that, something like that to you? Where they ask you the obvious question? Do you know this is going to end soon? Do you know that your lawn is not mowed? Do you know that your house is kind of messy? We love those types of questions, right? Well, that's the sort of question Elisha got. And he responded and he said, "Yes, I do. Be quiet." Now, why did he tell them this? He meant what Matthew Poole, a commentator on the Bible, said: "Hold your peace. Do not aggravate my grief, nor divert me with any unseasonable discourses, that I may digest my sorrow and prepare myself for so great a stroke, and diligently attend all my master's step." In other words, he wanted to focus on the event and his sorrow and grief and prepare for Elijah's departure. And this happened again and again. And finally, Elijah and Elisha arrive at the place where Elijah is going to depart. And Elijah asks him a question. "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you." And now we see perhaps why Elijah had told Elisha to go away. It's as if he wanted to lead him to look for that greater blessing. So he moved away so that he would move looking to that blessing. And oftentimes that's what the Lord does with us. He doesn't give us things right away so that we might continue asking and seeking and knocking and find our help and hope in the Lord. Now, what Elisha asked for, he says, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." And this could mean a couple of things. One, it may mean that he wanted to do twice as much as what Elijah did. And if you read the account of Elisha's life, you'll see he did a lot of amazing, miraculous things. But it also could refer to the ancient tradition and law of Scripture that the firstborn inherits a double portion. In other words, Elisha wanted to take up the leadership with the prophets. Well, Elijah told him, "This is a difficult thing, but what you need to do is to see me depart, and if you see me depart, then it will happen to you." Now, why did Elijah want Elisha to see him depart? Again, let me turn to Matthew Poole. He says that he wanted to encourage him more earnestly to wait and more fervently to pray for this mercy. So in other words, not to get lax, but to focus on diligently seeking from God what he wanted to give him. And then what happens is an amazing thing. The heavens open up and the fiery chariots of God appear. And Elisha is completely overwhelmed. If you read through the book of 1 and 2 Kings, which I encourage you to do, you will see that these fiery chariots are a theme in this book. And what they represent is God's care and protection for his people. From time to time, people are enabled to see those fiery chariots, and they then see that God is there, that he is protecting them, and it reminds them that their hope is not in earthly people, not in human beings, but in the God who defends them with his mighty chariots of fire. And then at this point, then Elijah is actually taken up to heaven in the whirlwind. And what happens to him is, in essence, what we mean when we talk about the word rapture, where someone is there and they're taken up to be with the Lord. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, meaning that we won't all die, but when the Lord comes again, those who are alive and believe in the Lord will be with him forever. And that's what happened to Elijah. He was taken up into heaven. And he gave us a picture of what Jesus was going to do when he was on earth, when he was taken up into heaven in his ascension before the eyes of the disciples. And of course, this past Thursday was Ascension Day, 40 days after Easter, where we celebrate the fact that Jesus has gone into heaven as our advocate, the one who prays for us, and he's given us his spirit to be with us. But it also reminds us of what Jesus is going to do for all of us. That one day he's going to come to take us to be with himself, like he did for Elijah. And we will be with him forever in glory. But for now, this was a real goodbye. Elijah had to say goodbye to Elisha and the prophets. Elisha had to say goodbye to Elijah. And he knew that one day he would do the same, that he would leave this world. And for us, we know that we're not going to be here forever. One day we will say goodbye to this life. And many people around us, before we do that, will say goodbye to us and leave. Goodbyes are part of life. And the more that we can see that, the better prepared we are when they come. We need to recognize that this world is a world of goodbyes, where those things that support us now may not support us tomorrow, where the people that are here may not be with us tomorrow. They may die, they may move, life may change. And we need to prepare our hearts for that. But sometimes saying goodbye is hard to accept. The prophets didn't want to accept it. They said, maybe God has taken Elijah somewhere else. And Elisha knew that wasn't the case, and they kept bothering him till finally he said, go take a look. And of course they went, and they didn't find him. Elisha was without Elijah. Elijah and Elisha had to say goodbye. But every goodbye brings a new hello. And we see this in the life of Elisha in four ways. The first way we see that he had a new hello was that God had allowed the cloak, the symbol of Elijah's power, to fall behind so that Elisha could take it up and see a visible sign of God's inward spiritual work in his life. We have these things that are our reminders of what God has done in the past of people. And we should take those up. Because even though we have to say goodbye to people, we can still hold them in our mind. I like what the philosopher Seneca said. For I have had them, that is the people in my life, as if I should one day lose them. I have lost them as if I have them still, because he carried them in his heart. And that's what we can do. And that's why we have Memorial Day. We remember those who perished in the military, but it's often used also to remember friends and loved ones who've gone on. And we all have those, and it's a good time to bring that into our hearts and know that we can enjoy their blessing even though they're gone. That's what the cloak did for Elisha. The second thing was that Elisha went to the Jordan. And what he did is exactly what Elijah had done. And he said that question, "Where now is the God of Elijah? Is he still around?" And he took the cloak and he struck the river and it parted, just like it had for Elijah. A clear answer to the question, "Where now is the God of Elijah?" Right here, doing the same things. He's with you. He won't change. And then Elisha went on to a town that was well situated, but had bad water. And so they came and they asked Elisha for help, for healing. And he said, "Throw salt into the water." And of course, salt is not something which normally cleanses the water. It makes it worse. And after that, God did a miracle. And he cleansed the spring, showing that his healing waters were still flowing, even though Elijah was gone. Where now is the God of Elijah? He's right here to heal. And then Elisha came to Jezreel. And there, some young men came out making fun of him for his bald head. And what God did, and then Elisha called down a curse upon them. Now that may seem like extreme, but we need to remember that he was a prophet of the Lord, called to defend the dignity of the office. And so he did, and God sent two bears that basically took care of business with these young men. And what that reminds us of is that the God of Elijah, who defended his name in the past, is here to defend his name in the present and will be there in the future. God is not to be trifled with. He is a consuming fire. He is to be held in reverence and awe. And God was going to make that clear in this day. And so we have the answer. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He is here. He is working. He is present to heal. Things change. This life is so changeable. The supports that we relied on go away. The people that we relied on move on. The homes we were familiar with are given to another. The vacation spots that we went to, we may not go to again. But in all of that, we can ask the question, do we have support? Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And we can answer, he is here. We have support. Next week, we're going to celebrate our graduates. It's a significant transition, especially for those who combine it with going away. A lot of your supports that you've relied on throughout the years are going to be gone, or not as present as they were before. And you may be tempted to ask, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And you can answer, he's right here. He's the one who won't change. He's the one who will be with you, even if Elijah departs. And what about the rest of you? What are you saying goodbye to today? What do you need to say goodbye to? What supports that you relied on in the past are now gone, that you need to recognize and point your hearts to the Lord, the God of Elijah? Jesus is both man and God. And so he's the one who goes away, but he also is the one who remains with us. He is the one of whom we can say, here now is the Lord, the God of Elijah, because he has said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In the midst of a changeable world of many transitions, he is the one firm point on which to which we can follow. He is the one rock on which we can rest. He is the one refuge in which we can hide. And we will do that until the day when he comes to take us like he did Elijah, to be with himself. And there we will experience face to face the joy we had here on earth, fully and completely. Thus may it be. Amen.